And Romans chapter 8. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Yes. Amen. Ate myself into oblivion, which I hadn't been doing lately, but I did. Yeah, we'll have to have Kim make you some of that fudge. I even put whoop cream on my fudge. Open a can of whoop cream, put it right there on that fudge. Amen. Amen. Well, he needs to listen to that in quiet so I can teach. Well, give him an iPad. Amen. Well, what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight is the power of love. And I want to talk to you in particular that lots of people don't understand that the power of love and being victorious in our Christian walk go hand in hand. They really do. Because what? Faith works by love. So you're not really going to see the victories that you're looking for if we're not operating in love. And so there is a power in love that many times that people don't get and they don't understand. You know, I've shared this with you before. It seems like many services that I've been in Pentecostal services, lots of times the messages that go forth in the Holy Spirit have to do with love and forgiveness. And, you know, telling people to get it right. In other words, God's wanting to move in the midst and do some stuff. And he's telling them, you know what? There's things that you need to do. You can't have aught in your heart and be victorious. And God wants us to be victorious. So why would he give a message like that? He gives a message like that so people will get victories. There's some things that you just have to get over, get under the blood, deal with it and move on. It's never fun to deal with forgiveness. Feels fun to do some of the things that we need to do to love like God wants us to love. But he didn't ask us what our opinion was on it. He told us to do it. He told us not to be hearers of the word only, but we're to be doers. And you know, there's two things throughout the scripture that we see that will hinder us receiving from God what we've asked God for. And one is unforgiveness and the other one is unbelief. There's nothing else that we see in the scripture that can block the blessing of God on our lives. There's nothing else that we see in the scripture that can block us from getting our answers to prayer. None of that except unforgiveness and unbelief. So, you know, why people think that they can get away with that and that it doesn't apply to them, it applies to everybody. If we don't operate in love, we're not going to receive what it is that we're believing God for. So we've just got to do it. We've got to keep our heart right about those things. Lots of times we go about and think about it when you first got saved. And you first get saved, what do? You celebrate. You celebrate about God's love and how good you feel. It's a victory. It's a victory that God's love brought forth, right? But not just when we got saved. How about those other steps in our life? As God's sanctifying our life and we see that we've overcome things in our life. As we've gotten delivered from some things, you know, that deliverance finally came for things that we were believing God for. For me, the drugs, the alcohol, some of the other things that I was doing. But you know what? It's an ongoing deliverance. Because, you know, people want to argue about whether sanctification is immediate or ongoing. Well, the answer is both. Sanctification is a process. Yes, we were sanctified when we were saved. But God's still working in our heart. It's amazing. When I first got saved, I'm thinking, hey, if the drugs are gone, the alcohol's gone, you know, those are the biggies. Those were the little ones. The loving, you know, is the hard part. And you can say, well, just some people are unlovable. Well, that's not true. We're going to find out that that is not a true statement. Because we can't even make that comment and be right. We can't make that comment and be victorious. We got to love people no matter what. Does it mean that there's some people that's not good for us and we don't need to be around and we don't need to keep them from a distance? And that loving from a distance, there's something to that? Some people we have to do that way. There's some people that have manipulated us and done things that they shouldn't. But you know what? You let it go, you release it, and you just kind of keep them at a distance and love them from a distance. Truly love them, truly forgive them, truly let it go. But don't let them get close enough to where they can hurt you like that again. You know, don't open that door. Go with them, go as far with them as their covenant goes with you, right? You can't be a loving person and not continue to give of yourself, right? Just because one other person did you wrong. How many times have I counseled people getting married and maybe it's a second marriage? And you know, either the guy or the lady's telling me, well, you know, they kind of won't let me in because they got hurt in that relationship and they're never going to let anybody else that close again. Well, you know what? It won't work. That relationship's not going to work. And I always tell them, I go, is this guy right here a good guy? Because it's mostly the guy and the woman got hurt and mostly. And I'll say, is this a good guy right here? Yep, he's a good guy. I go, he treats you good. Yep. I go, then why are you taking out on him what the other guy did? It's not him. You got to give this guy a break. They don't really see that they're doing that, but they are. And so, you know, people carry that stuff into future relationships and won't give of themselves. And you're only going to get what you give, right? So if you say, well, I just want to forgive this and just move on. Well, if you want to forgive it and forget and move on, then forgive. Because you're not going to get it if you don't give it. That's word. We know that the enemy wants us to think that God doesn't love us. We know that the enemy wants us to think that word doesn't apply to us. The enemy wants to try to deceive us and say, well, we know what the Bible said, but what does that have to do with you? Because look at you and look at who you are. The enemy tries to plant that doubt. Two things that keep us from receiving the blessing. Unbelief, that's one of them, and unforgiveness. In other words, we're not worthy to receive. The enemy always wants to plant that doubt that God doesn't love us that way and all that stuff and that God's condemning. The enemy wants us to think that God's condemning. The enemy wants us to think that God has abandoned us because of something that we've done. But you know what? That's not who God is. That's not what He's about. When we start hearing that voice and that information, that's not God. And what happens is, you know, the Bible tells us that we're not to give the enemy a foothold, which means there's not an open door till the enemy until you and I did what? Gave the enemy a foothold. The enemy can't get a foothold if we don't give it to him. Did you know that? The enemy can't get in our door, and he can't get his foot in our door unless we gave it to him. So that means that there's times when things are coming our direction. How do we give him a foothold in our life? By listening to what the enemy says and not believing what God says. Simply. The battle's right here. The 6 inches between your ears. That we understand whether that's a God thing or whether that's not a God thing. How do we tell that? Does it line up with the Word? If it doesn't line up with the Word, then it's not God. God loves us expressly. So, the enemy presents lies to us, but we have to remember that God loves us. We have to keep that on the forefront of our lives and in our minds that God does love us and that we're His beloved and that with God, He doesn't change that. That's who He is. That's His nature. And, you know, our status with God is not going to change. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. And we're that way because of what Jesus has done for us. And so because we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we have a rightness and a right relationship. And if that's the case, God doesn't want to condemn us, and God doesn't want to abandon us. God's not trying to keep anything from you. He's trying to get stuff to you. So he says, you know what? The stuff that you're believing for, let me tell you how to get it. Love. Simply that, love. If you love, you're going to trust. If you love, you're going to believe in who? Whoever we're talking about. God, our family, our friends, God's Word. You know, we want to believe the best. So in Romans chapter 8, Dylan, would you go get me a water? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I love this verse, the first verse in particular. It says, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let me ask you that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Here's the answer. Nobody successfully. Right? Nobody successfully, if God is for us, and He is, can be successful. If God is for us, and He is, then nobody else can be successful about taking us in a direction other than where God wants us to go. Who can be against us? Nobody successfully. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God, here, you get this? The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is nobody successfully. He also says, for those people, us, believers, how much does he want to give you and I all things freely? What things? Everything that he said in that word that belongs to us. That's what he wants to do. But it won't happen apart from love. And you can say, well, I just don't believe that's what God meant. Well, you're goofy. I mean, really. Because that's what God meant. And it is goofy when we start thinking that the only person in the world that can ever get away from doing it exactly like God told us to do it is us. I know that that's what's happened to everybody in the history of the world who didn't obey, but you know, it's not going to happen to me. It is going to happen to you because you've gotten yourself out from under the umbrella of protection, and what comes from that is what we get. We don't want to do that. We want to do what God tells us. But I'm looking for victory. I'm believing God. Well, are you loving? If you're looking for victory, you got to be loving. Doesn't say you have to feel the love, does it? Because sometimes we don't feel it. Many times we don't feel like it. But we're supposed to do it. We know that God loves us for several different reasons. How about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth on him would not perish, right? Have everlasting, and verse 15 says, everlasting everlasting and eternal life. I think eternal's in verse 15 or vice versa. So with him, the Bible tells us with Jesus, we know that God loves us because he gave us his son. And what comes with the son is what he tells us is all things. He wants to give us all things. And when we receive Jesus as our Lord, we receive all that we're ever going to need. And let me ask you something. When you get saved and God comes into your life, how much of God do you get? All of it. You can say, well, if I got everything that's in that book, I sure ain't seeing it. Well, that's because you ain't got it yet. You haven't understood what really belongs to you. But whatever it says in the book, it all belongs to you. Everything that God has, you already have. You can say, well, I don't see it. Well, that's because partly your mouth, right? And the other part is my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, because of what we don't know. People are destroyed because of what we don't know, right? And there's probably not enough preaching and teaching about walking and operating in love. If we love people, you can say, but our primary focus here is to win people to Jesus. Well, that's good. But if it's not motivated by love, if you think you're earning something by winning people to Jesus, you're not. If you're not motivated by love, the Bible says you can be martyred by your, you can be martyred for your faith. But if you didn't do it in love, you did it in naught for no reason. Isn't that something that you'd lay your life down for Jesus thinking that you were earning? In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that some of those people that were martyred for their faith refused to accept their deliverance for a better resurrection. But you know, if they only did it for a better resurrection and they wasn't doing it for love, then they did it for naught. You know, a better resurrection is good. But you know, he tells us that if we are martyred for our faith and we didn't do it for love, then it was no good. Everything we do has to be motivated by that. Look at Genesis. This might be something. Genesis, talking about the love of God, and we're going to Genesis? Yeah, let's look there. Genesis 22. And let's go to verse 2. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go up yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Man, what a faith statement. Right there lies a faith statement, because he said, look, God's done told him, "I want you to go up on the mountain and sacrifice your son, your only son." So he knows that that's what God's requiring him. But he said, and why did the Bible say that he would do it? He had prayed forever for that son. He had believed forever for that son. Now, why would Abraham go do that? Because he believed just as soon as he would kill him that God would resurrect him from the dead. However God was going to relieve the, you know, take care of the promise, he and the boy were coming back. Me and the boy's going up there and me and the boy's coming back. That's faith. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had. It goes on to say, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and or the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father," he said, "here I am, son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. And then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said to him, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket in the thorn by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. God knew that Abraham loved him because Abraham didn't even withhold his only son. God, the Father, on the other hand, has shown his love to us because he didn't withhold his only son for you and I. It works hand in hand. God knew that Abraham's son Isaac didn't qualify as an acceptable sacrifice according to the old covenant because he wasn't flawless. Right? But Jesus was a flawless sacrifice that took everything upon himself for you and I. And let me tell you something. The most valued possession that heaven had to offer was Jesus. And that was a lasting sacrifice. What God did in giving His Son was a lasting sacrifice for us forever. He was flawless. He was tempted in every way as we were, yet He was without sin. He took the stripes to His back for our healing. He shed His blood for you and I, that we would have salvation and be restored to the Father and be in right relationship. So let me show you something else. I want you to look with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and go to verse 14. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to think about it, because maybe you've never read this passage in this context before. But remember, we're talking about the love of God and the love that God has for us and why loving is so important. And look what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. So you know what? Why did God do everything in us like he did? He made a way where Christ would dwell in our hearts, and he would dwell in our hearts for what purpose? That we would be rooted and grounded in love. Now, it goes on to say that as you're being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints how big God's love is. Well, how big God's love is that he gave us his Son to dwell in us, that we would be rooted and grounded in love. I've told you the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meek. Okay, so we know what the fruit is, and it doesn't say fruits because the fruit of the Spirit is love. All the rest of that's a byproduct. That's the same thing he's saying here. He's saying, look, placed Christ in your hearts to dwell there so that you would be rooted and grounded in love. We already are. It's already been done. God made us creatures of choice. We choose whether or not we're going to love. We can say that's an unlovable person. What we really ought to be saying is that's a person that I really have a hard time loving. But it's not the fact that you don't have the love in your heart to love them with. It's there. You've chosen not to love them. I've noticed that people can see somebody across the way, and they can see how that person looks. They don't know anything about them, but they've already decided they don't like them. Now, how can you do that and you don't even know them? But people do. They'll go, I can just tell he's cocky. I can just tell that she thinks she's all that in a bag of chips. Whatever. This is a prayer that's being made right here. The Apostle Paul is praying, and he made it clear that there's a connection between the power of God and love. He's made it clear. Paul's praying over the church, the people of the church, and saying, here's what I need you to see. The love and winning victories in your life connection. The love and the power of God connection that's going to help you get what it is that you need to do what I've called you to do. You know, God's never called you to do anything that he hasn't given you the power to do. So you can say, well, I just haven't been able to do that because I've got this going on and that going on. No, the reason that we haven't done it is because we've never realized the connection between the power of love and what it is that we've been called to do. The power of God that he's got in our lives to fulfill it by simply loving. You can say, and maybe that's not a good term, simply loving, because sometimes it's not simple. But God said that He's put that love there. He didn't just leave us on our own. He said, look, Christ is in your heart. He said the same thing about peace, didn't He? Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. But He went on to say that the peace that He, this peace I have, this peace I give unto you. So everything that He's told us to have and to do, He gave it. This peace I have, I'm giving it to you. I want you to have peace. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because He trusts in you. And love, the power of God will be there to operate and move in your life, see victories in your life, see all this stuff in the Word that I have for you, and it's all going to happen by the power of God because you're operating in love. When we operate in love, we have favor. You can say, well, I tell you what, I just don't know if I'm walking in favor or not. Man, I got this going on and that going on. Are we walking in love? I mean, first thing to do would be, hey, it's time to check it out. First thing I'd do is if things weren't going like they ought to be going, I'd be thinking, is there a disconnect in my love connection? Not the TV show, but Chuck Woolery will be back in 2 and 2. 2 and 2. There's a connection. Paul wanted the Ephesians to see the connection. God wants us to see the connection between His power and doing, hey, what did he say? This is my commandment, that you love one another. That what? That your joy may be full. Okay? So people go, well, you know what? I tell you what, it's hard to have joy when you're going through that stuff. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. Remember I told you that God gave us everything that He's told us to do. He's already done it for us. If we don't have joy, guess what we ain't doing? Loving one another. If we don't have peace, He said, this peace I have, this peace I give to you. We already have it. Well, how come we're not at peace? Well, where's the love connection? The power for peace, the power for joy, the power for everything that God's called us to do, the power for everything that God said we can have has to do with love. Faith worketh by love. Right? Amen. Yes. Amen, brother. Hey, we should be rooted and grounded, not just in love, but we should be rooted and grounded in the love that He's had for us. Think about it. When we first got saved, we didn't think about all the stuff that we got going on and all these issues that we had. We're like, wow, the load's been lifted and I'm right with God and the world is good. That's how we felt when we got saved. Well, then we got all mature and smart and goofy. We forgot. Sometimes we forget. The Bible tells us we're overcomers by the word of His testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Well, testify. Tell somebody how good God is. You know? Don't be ashamed of that. Just tell people. And, you know, we don't do it enough. We really do not do it enough. When we have confidence that God loves us and that we're operating in the love that God gave us, then we have the ability to do all things. All things is made available for us to be able to do. Today, I was in a hot meeting. And I mean hot, it was hot meeting. I mean, tempers were getting riled up and it got a little hot in there. And finally I told one of the people in there, I go, look, you can't apologize to somebody and then also attack them at the same time. You can't go, I'm sorry, but the reason I did what I did was because. Well, that ain't an apology. That's digging back up what you did the first time. And I told people in the meeting, I go, you're never going to get the result that you desire if you attack. What are you going to get if you attack somebody? Defensive? Every time. You got to love people, and you got to approach them in love. If you don't approach, sometimes you can approach people in love, and they'll attack you. But it doesn't matter. The only thing we can control, the only thing that we have power over, is how we respond. That's it. Right? So, you know, Dylan was in that meeting when it was over with. He goes, I don't know how you waited that long before you said anything. I think that there's been a couple times that I've been in situations like that. I had a guy downstairs it was in another building. And he kind of went off and he said, I'll tell you what my problem is, KKK, Kim and Kevin and Crystal. So my wife's in there and Kevin's in there and another girl that worked for me named Crystal. And they the only guy that he thought he could whoop in that room was Kevin. So he told Kevin, he goes, me and you will take us outside right now. And you know what? He just went off. I mean, he made a fool out of himself. And normally, I got to say that I probably wouldn't have contained myself that way, but I just sat there. And when he got done, he's like, he goes, I quit. He goes, no, I don't quit. He goes, what do you want me to do? And this is the first time I've said anything. I finally put my hands up on the desk, and I go, you know what? I don't know exactly what I want you to do because I've never seen anything like that in my life. I go, but I would like you to leave. And I'll call you later and we'll talk about it. And I called him later and I said, well, obviously you don't want to be here. And after that display, nobody wants you here. So let's call her quits. Well, me and him made peace later on. We made peace because I did it. But we did make our peace. And he died 2 or 3 years later at 54 years old. Went to a restaurant, ate something, choked on it. He's a respiratory therapist. Choked on it, went home, thought that everything was okay, laid down. He looked at his wife, who's also a nurse and a respiratory therapist, and said, well, honey, this is it. And bam, was gone. He knew he was aspirating and didn't know, and he just died, 54 years old. Freak thing. You know, it's amazing to me that, and you know, there was always turmoil in his marriage and turmoil in his life. He was always in turmoil. He was suing the drug company because he took some type of medication for bipolar people that supposedly depressed people, that supposedly made him act in a certain way. And I mean, he was at odds with even the pills he took, you know, I mean, And so he had a hard time operating by love, and he was easily deceived. He come in one day, he goes, man, he goes, my life has changed. And I go, what? He goes, man, I was watching this Deepak Chopra, and he goes, man, the stuff that he's talking about. So he's listening to some new age dude out there, you know, some swami guy that Michael Jackson consulted, which we all know he had some weird ideas. You know that saying that says his itching ears would hear what he wanted to hear? Listen, if you get away from the gospel, if you get away from the truth that you know, that's basic truth. And people have a hard time just accepting basic truth. The basic truth is you can't feel good. You can't make yourself feel good enough not to do it the way God's told you to do it. You might hear something that sounds good and goes, oh, well, the reason this has happened is because I've had this happen and all that. You know, some people never accept responsibility for what they've done. And if you don't, in other words, what you don't acknowledge, you really can't fix. So if you've got something going on and you're not operating in love like you're supposed to, if you don't acknowledge it and say, I don't care, the longest day I live, as long as I live, I will never forgive them, I will never do this, and I will never do that, you know what? You don't get it. You don't get it. That is not the way you live your life. And you can say, hey, that's just not what I want to do. That's just not the way I am. Well, that's the way God's people are. Doesn't matter if that's your nature. You know, lots of us don't have a nature to be a certain way. But it doesn't keep us from being held to the Scripture to do what God's told us to do. Doesn't matter what your nature is. You know, we have to make sure that whatever God says in His Word, that's what we have to do. And I got to tell you, if we don't understand how much God loves us and how much God wants us to walk in love, we're never going to walk into the wholeness of God ever. We just will not. And we can try to talk it away and we can try to excuse it away. And, you know, I've told you before, I did drugs, I did alcohol, I was out there, I cheated people, I did whatever, you know, whatever sorry people did, I did. But I look back on it, nobody ever made me do that. You know, everybody goes through stuff in life. Hey, whatever happened to you when you were young doesn't mean that you can't change it and move forward. You know, Helen Keller was blind, but she didn't let that keep her from doing some mighty things, right? I mean, you know, there's lots of people that were born handicapped and in wheelchairs and got all this stuff going on in their life. But they, you know, they don't blame anybody else for what's happened to them. They know that. We talked to one guy, he's driving home from work, falls asleep at the wheel, goes under a tractor trailer truck in the middle of town. He fell asleep at the top of town, and all he knows is he comes to trapped with his car just squished to the ground, and he's under the tractor trailer truck, and he now knows what's happening. He can't feel anything, but he's very aware of everything. He's a patient of ours. And man, he's the one that'll call Kevin up and go, "Hey, Kevin, you don't have to call me back. I don't need anything. I was just quadriplegic. Can't move anything from the neck down. And I don't need anything. I was just calling to say, hope you're having a good day." And I'm like, a quad who can't move nothing. And pretty much can't do, and here we are, normal, healthy, doing anything we want to do, and we got a person like that calling us to say, "I just wanted to see how you'd," hey, in other words, I'm just thinking of somebody else beside myself today, and loving them, and I hope you're having a good day. What an attitude. And Christian, whole people have a hard time having that attitude. You know, we don't want that kind of stuff to happen. You know, to make us realize what's going on. This guy's married and got children since he's had the accident, had children. And let me tell you something. He'll come here. His kids take tennis lessons up here. And he'll come in here and drive up to the tennis lessons and all that stuff. We had another guy that visited church here, came in his wheelchair, was in a gang. But they're sitting at a table and a gang comes up, it's going to do a drive-by shooting. He jumped up on the curb right at the time the bullet hit him in the neck. If not, it had just hit him in the back of the head. He had been gone. But right as he got up on top of the curb to run, it got him in the neck, paralyzed. But man, he loved God. He kept telling me and Kevin, he goes, "I believe one day that I'm going to be healed and out of this chair." I mean, he was believing God for that. What an attitude the guy had. He was telling us one day he couldn't move anything. And he was telling us one day that he was in his manual wheelchair and he started going down a ramp. And when he went down the ramp, he started thinking, "Oh no, I can't stop." Because he's going down the ramp in his manual wheelchair and he can't move nothing. And he goes, in his head, he's thinking, "Face or arms?" In other words, when I land, face or arms? And he says, "Have to be the face, because without the arms I can't transfer." And he face planted on purpose, knowing that he was going to face plant. I mean, when you hear people talk like that, going, "I'm going to sacrifice my face because I can't even help to move my arms to transfer." So he was a quadriplegic. His hands were like that, but he could at least put pressure down like that and move around a little bit. He had a little bit of upper body strength. And he's thinking in his mind as he's going down a ramp, face or arms? What's it going to be? And he makes the decision, face. And you know, and sometimes we're like, "Do you know what they said to me?" Well, face or arms? I mean, really, what's the, you know, what's the one that you think is the biggest issue? Somebody said something to you, or face plant? somebody say something to you, or, oh, I was the guy under the truck watching them cut me out, remembering everything, and I can't move anything, but I'm just happy to be. You see this guy that I'm talking about? I have never seen him that he didn't have a big smile on his face, ever. Ever. He always has a big smile on his face. And sometimes we have a hard time mustering that up. Healthy?
I asked him why. You know what he said? Huh. Because every day is a good day when you're supposed to be dead.
Yeah. What an attitude, right? He wakes up and says, Father, I thank you I'm alive. You know, sometimes we forget that testimony, don't we? Look with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3 again. Look, God wants us to know, but He don't just want us to know, He wants us to experience His love. And I'm going to tell you, when we acknowledge that, when we acknowledge the love that He has for us, that's when we're really going to operate and see the fullness of God in our lives. Only then, when we understand, what's God's motivation? Love. What's He want our motivation to be? Love. How's that going to happen? When we understand how much love He has for us and how much He wants us to love. That's how we're going to... Verse 18, Ephesians 3. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And you know what? Go on to verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What's the power? Here, once again, love connection. Power. Hey, you love, it's always accompanied by the power. So, you want to see something done in your life? Love God. Love people. Do what God tells you to do. Be motivated by love. Look with me if you would. I shared a little bit of this, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 1 ought to do it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, I can speak in heavenly languages and all that kind of stuff, but if I'm not operating in love, then it didn't do me a bit of good. I can sit there and pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding. You know, love in the Christian is like fuel in the car. I mean, really? That's what I would equate it to. It's when we acknowledge the love of God in our lives and operate in it, that it fuels our prayers. Just like gas in the car gets us to where we want to go, love in the Christian will get us where we want to go. Today, we had Dylan's truck towed to Lakeland Auto Mall because, guess what? The truck wouldn't go nowhere. Had fuel in it, but it wouldn't go nowhere. And when the fuel isn't getting to where it's supposed to go, it won't go anywhere. So the fuel wasn't getting to where it's supposed to go, so guess what? It's useless, so it had to get towed off. Well, if it's love that fuels the Christian, if we're not operating in love and we're bitter and angry and mad and not living like we're supposed to live and we're not loving people like we're supposed to love people, where are we going spiritually speaking? Nowhere. We're pretty much wasted. We might as well be towed off to the filling station. Look with me, if you would, to Romans again, chapter 5. And go to verse 5. And people go, well, I tell you what, that you can't even love that person. Well, yes, you can. Here you go. Here's how. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Another version says shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So in other words, in the Old Testament, the scripture says, I'm going to take that stony heart and make it a fleshly heart, right? Here it says that he's going to shed abroad his love or pour out his love into our hearts. We don't even have to do it in our own. We do it because God said he put it in us to love people that way. Don't say that you can't love people or that's an unlovable person. You might can say you won't. That would be more honest. Don't say that that person's unlovable or I can't love that person. You can. You've chosen not to. Sometimes I can't means I won't. Most of the time that's what it means. He gave us his love to love those people with. Notice here that the love of God is mentioned right here in connection with the Holy Spirit. Right? Love, in other words, who is it that's doing the work? It's the Holy Spirit. God's given us the love. Wasn't it supposed to be 80-something degrees today? Well, not only did it not make it, it started dropping in the 60s. In the afternoon, I'm going, what's that for? It's because we wasn't operating in love. Church, love. The Lord knows we love heat. The Holy Spirit wants us to know love. And why is that? So that we can operate in the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit that's got that assignment to reside on the inside of us, to lead us to all these things that you and I are believing God for and the things that God wants us to do. It's the Holy Spirit doing that work. So he's trying to get us in that love walk and stay in that love walk, so that what it is we're believing God for and praying for doesn't get hindered. That's what he wants us to do. Our hope will never be disappointed when we know that God loves us. We've got the Holy Spirit in us as a witness teaching us that. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and go to verse 17. Now we know what Jesus did, right? We know what he did. And the Father approved of that. Matthew 3:17, it says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, you know what? The tempter came and he removed the beloved part as he mentioned that Jesus was the Son of God, right? So God says, this is my beloved Son whom I love. But look what the tempter said when he came and tempted Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Very next chapter is when he goes out to be tempted. And look at verse 3. He says, now the tempter came to him. He said, if you are the Son of God. He didn't say, if you are the beloved Son of God. God just said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. The enemy knows, you know, the enemy knows stuff. He knows about the past. What he doesn't know is about the future. So he can bring up past and tell you stuff that's happened because that's history. But that don't mean he's smart. He's not all knowing. He's not ever present. You know, he's not all powerful. Sometimes we talk about him like he is, but he's not. God is. But when he tempts Jesus, what does he drop from what the Father had said? The beloved part. The beloved Son. He says, if you're the Son of God. And of course, Jesus didn't fall for that. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And we know that the scripture says that every time the enemy tempted him, what did he do? He used the word. You know, the word. The word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right? So, in other words, we don't live by these other things. We don't get tempted by what you're saying. We go by what the Word of God says, because we know God loves us. We know that that's what He wants for us. We know that that's His will, and that if we do what He tells us to do, He's trying to get good stuff to us. What do? Love. You can't mess up loving. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 3 again. It says, oh, that's the one I just did. Okay. So, here's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to believe that God doesn't love you. The enemy wants you to think that you're not beloved. Right? He also wants you to think that you don't love enough. You know, he's going to try everything that he can. He's going to try to make you think that God doesn't love you. If he thinks that God doesn't love you, then I've met people before that says, you know what, I don't want to serve of God that would let some of these evils that happen in the world happen in the world. Because, you know what, they've had somebody preach and teach to them God is, what's the word I'm looking for? Starts with a P. The providence of God. In other words, that everything that happens, God controls. Well, you know what? He doesn't do that. Do I believe in the providence of God? Yes. I believe that His ultimate will happen. It will occur. But do I think that He tries to control everything that happens here on earth right now? He can. He would be lying against Himself if He did. Because unless men invites Him to get involved, then He would be an intruder. So that's why He's got believers on the earth to invite Him to do these things and get Him involved, to open the door with our words and our mouth, to call those things that were not as though they are. Right? That's what He wants us to do. But the enemy wants us to think that God doesn't love us. The enemy wants us to think that these bad things that we see happen in the world happen because that's the way God wants it to be. And if God wants you to be miserable, my God, you're just going to be miserable because that's the way God wanted it to be. I talked to a girl the other day. I say a girl, she's 50 years old. And she's going, God promised me I was going to get married. I met the man. It was prophesied over my life. I met the man. I know that's the man. The man got married to somebody else and now... I just believe that God just doesn't have that for me. And I go, well, I agree together with you. And she goes, oh, I don't believe it that way. I don't believe that you can just take a promise from the Bible and believe it and that it's going to happen. Because whatever God's going to do, that's what God's going to do. And God doesn't have anybody for me. And I just don't trust. She told me I don't trust Him. And I go, when she said that, I don't think she heard herself say that. And her brother's a pastor, and all of her pastors have tried to babysit her and coddle her and tell her all this mess because she's a negative woman. And I told her, I said, well, you know what? How long have you been angry with God? She goes, I'm not angry with God. I go, wait a minute. You just told me that you don't trust Him. You just told me you don't trust God. She goes, well, I don't. And I go, and I asked you, how long have you been angry with Him? And then she went off on me. And I go, and you wonder why a man is not interested. And I didn't mean it to be that way. Hey, but that was exactly, hey, there ain't no guy, because if she gets into a conversation with some guy, she wants to meet a guy. But if everybody she meets, she tells them what she told me, that guy's going to head for the hills because they're going to think she's crazier than a loon. Who wants to be around a negative person that goes, well, I'm looking for the man, but I don't trust God, so there probably ain't one. And you probably ain't him either, buddy. I mean, probably. I'm not trying to put words in her mouth, but I think that's what she said. I don't trust God. That's a scary place, isn't it? That you don't trust God and that you're angry with God. I go, so how long you been angry with God? How's that working for you? I go, do you think it bothers God? I go, He loves you. I go, but do you think it's hurt God one iota that you're angry? I go, all that's done is hurt you. He don't want her to be angry. But what does that do to him? Just unforgiveness against God? So how many prayers you think you're going to get answered? I can see just the sexiest man from heaven drop right out for her because of all of her belief. Kevin's already taken, so it can't be him. Look, the enemy wants us to feel abandoned. The enemy wants us to feel condemned and abandoned. But the enemy doesn't have any defense against us when we know and understand that we are the beloved of God. That when we know and understand how much God loves us, then the enemy can't stand a chance against thwarting what God has for us. Sometimes people just don't get it. And we need to meditate on those things. We need to meditate on the fact that God loves us. We need to meditate on the fact that God's going to help us overcome the attacks of the enemy. That God wants to see us win. Why? Because He loves us. That's what He wants for our lives. We can't listen to all those answers and all those questions that try to pop up in our mind about, well, if God loves me, why did this happen? Well, it happened because you live in the earth. You're not exempt from things happening. But you do have the power to overcome whatever it is that's happened. And what happens? That's operating, trusting, and believing God. That's what it's about. So the power of God to operate in our life has a direct connection to loving. But people don't get it. We all know, well, faith worketh by love. It does. But there's a deeper connection. I mean, everything flows out of love. Power flows out of love. The ability to do what God's called us to do flows out of love. Everything that we ever receive from God is going to be resulting from the love of God in our lives and us understanding that He loves us that way. And I got to tell you, we need to regularly acknowledge. We just went through the Thanksgiving time period. Now we're moving into Christmas. But let me tell you, we need to be regularly acknowledging how the operation of God's love in our life is, the things that He's doing for us, the things that He's done for us, you know. And, you know, it shouldn't be hard. You know, we've had some weird stuff happen. You know, our kitchen's been down since the 17th of September. And it took me 2 months to get a check to pay for it, so I was paying for a bunch of that stuff out of my pocket. We just were having weird stuff happen. Well, you know what? Hey, now they're in our house. Here we are, Christmas time. They're in our house because the floors got messed up. So we've got to redo all the floors. They've been on our steps for a week. And then next week they do the kitchen through the hallway to the dining room and all that. And then the last one will be our bedroom. We'll get done a couple weeks before Christmas at this rate. And, and that's kind of disruptive. But, yeah, I'm not going to lose my joy over it. I'm not going to lose my joy over the fact that, oh, get this. You know, talking about things that happen, I get the insurance check finally after waiting all that time. I go down there and deposit it at the bank, and they go, I'd already wrote the checks to my vendors. And they go, oh, we're putting a 5-day hold on that. I go, well, I've already paid my vendors. So what they did was they used my money in the bank and kept a hold on the check. Well, it was almost a $13,000 check. And then at the end, they bounced one auto deposit. They didn't bounce it. They paid them, but then charged me a $30 fee for this, $30 fee for that, $10. So I got $70 in fees. But I found out that the check had already cleared 2 days after we deposited. So it's on hold another 3 days. But when I called there, they told me, no, we automatically put a 5-day hold on. So I call them back and I go, now I got these fees. And they go, well, if you would have called us and told us, that you had proof that it was cleared 2 days ago, we'd have took the hold off and none of that would have never happened. I go, ain't nobody there told me that. Okay, so guess what? They refunded me my $70 back, praise God. But you know what? If somebody had, first of all, if their kitchen was messed up, that would throw them for a loop. Second of all, I mean, any little thing after that would just throw them for a loop. Well, guess what? We made it through that. God was good to us anyhow. What did we do wrong that our kitchen got messed up? Nothing. Live in Florida and the sea poles got clogged up in the windows and the water came in the house instead of going outside. That's what we did wrong. We had windows with sea poles, praise God. But you know what? It's not that we do something wrong. Sometimes we just go through stuff. Sometimes this is a test, only a test of the Emergency Broadcast Network. How are you going to handle it, Christian? When you get squeezed, Christian, what comes out? It should be love. It should be love. And but if we start singing gloom, despair, agony on me, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all, as the hee-haw men would sing, then that's the attitude that we're going to have, and that's not a faith attitude, and that's not a love attitude. But we need to always and constantly testify and share and acknowledge the great things that God's done in our life. You know, some people don't have a kitchen. Some people don't have food. Some people don't have a job to go to. Some people don't have a church. Some people, when they go to church, they don't have electricity. They bang rocks or whatever they can find. Some people don't have an opportunity to go to church at all. We're blessed people. We're blessed people. God loves us, and He loves us to the point that everything that you and I receive from God will flow out of that love as it flows through us, and we need to acknowledge it. Amen? The power of God has a connection to the love of God. So to operate in the power, you operate in the love. Amen? Stand with me tonight. Hope that helps.